good to know the Lord, and I mean really know Him. You know, Brother David's situation, every time I told somebody, just several people the other day, every time I see somebody that I know like that, and I've got about as many friends in heaven now as I do down here, but every time I see it, and every time I get around it, I know it's coming my way. And like Billy Graham said, I'm not afraid of death. I'm looking forward with much anticipation. I can't wait. I can't wait to see my Lord. That's what I want to see more than anything. Mansions will glisten on the hills of glory. Happy reunion on streets of gold. Angel choir singing praise God's praises forever, but Jesus will outshine them all. Amen. That's what I'm looking forward to. All that other stuff, not that big a deal. The one I'm looking for is the one that died for me. That's the one I'm waiting for. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16 and one verse here. We looked at this a little bit this morning. And Matthew chapter 16 verse 24 says this. Then Jesus said unto His disciples, notice His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. And that's my goal in life, by the way, is to follow Jesus Christ. I have no other ambitions in life. I have no other dreams. I have no other goals. I have one goal in life, and that's it. And if nothing else, even on the planet, and I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want to do. And my goal as pastor of this church, I'll tell you what it is. It's real simple. I want to try to get you to follow Jesus Christ, period. I'm not trying to get you to follow the Republican Party. I wouldn't follow the Republican Party across the street. I wouldn't follow the Democrat to the corner. I wouldn't follow the news media to the bathroom unless I put them in there and flush them down the toilet. Amen. I'm not interested in following nobody else. There's only one that I want to follow, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is it.
Amen.
That is it. And that ought to be your goal this morning.
Amen.
Your goal above everything in this life, above occupations, above your health, above all that kind of stuff. The goal in your life, if you're truly saved and born again and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, number one goal ought to be to follow Jesus Christ. And you know the great thing about this verse? God gives us precise, clear instructions how to follow Him. It's just doing it. He tells us exactly what to do. My goal is to follow Him, and He gives us clear instructions how to do it. I mean, you can't misinterpret this. Somebody say, well, that's just your interpretation. No, that's what it says. Whosoever readeth, let him understand, the Bible said in Matthew 24. And there's no wiggle room here. There's no misunderstanding. It's real simple. He tells us how to follow Him. In the Bible, 18 times. 18 times the Lord admonishes people to follow Him. Follow me! Follow me! Matthew 8:22, there's a fellow come to Him one time and he said, Lord, I want to follow You, but he said, my father's dead. I got to go bury. You know what Jesus said? You let the dead bury the dead, buddy. You follow Me. Somebody, well, that wasn't very kind. You don't know the Lord, see? Jesus Christ is number one. Everything else is below that. Brother Roloff, years ago, I remember him talking about this. When his father died, he was preaching a funeral. He was preaching a revival. And when his father died, they wanted him to come back home, Brother Brian, for the funeral. And he said, you know, my brother, I think his brother was Elmo or Homer or something, and his sister, he said, they never forgave me. But he said, I didn't come home to the funeral. He said, there was nothing I could do for my dad. He's at home in heaven. He said, but I had to stay and do the Lord's work and preach that revival. Somebody said, that wasn't right. You don't know the Lord, see? Follow me! 18 times. He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Jesus said, if any man will serve me, let him follow me. Over and over and over. He admonishes people to follow Him. That ought to be your goal. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. I got a bunch of messages on Matthew 4. Here's the first people Jesus ever calls out to serve Him. In Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18, we'll pick it up 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And He saith unto them, follow Me. Follow Me. That's the first people He ever called. You know who He called out? Commercial fishermen. Not preachers, not priests, not prophets, not scribes, not rich folks, just those dumb commercial fishermen.
follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Straightway, immediately. And going on from this, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, and his ship with Zebedee his father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and he followed him. And I want to preach a little bit this morning on follow me. Follow me. Matthew chapter 16 verse 24. I want to say the first thing I want to say about it. It says in Matthew 16 24. Then Jesus said unto the disciples, if any man want to follow me, if anyone will come after me. I want to say the first thing I see is a selection. You know what God says? I love it. You know what he says? If any man. He says in Revelation 3:20, if any man hear my voice and open, any man, God's not interested in the smart, the bright, the good looking. He's not interested in the rich, the uneducated. He's not interested in the poor. He's not interested in the healthy. God said, if any man, let me just throw this in, ladies. That means a man with a womb too. That means a womb man, see. All of you. God said, if any man, there's his selection. When God reaches out and he calls the first people out, you know what he calls out, Brother Brian? He calls out commercial fishermen. Take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 2. And we're going to 1 Corinthians 1 and Acts 4. Look at Mark chapter 2. The first people he calls out is commercial fishermen. Not exactly the cream of the crop, let's be honest. I've known a few commercial fishermen. I went to school with them down in Pensacola. They had a few of them. They went down there, and honest to goodness, they couldn't spell Bible. They weren't the brightest cats on the world. If you've ever seen any of those shows on the TV, some of those crab fishermen and all that, they're not actually the cream of the crop, Brother Bright. But that's the one God, when he went down the gravel, he said, hey, you guys, follow me. And immediately, straightway, they left their nest. Immediately, they left the ship and their father. There's a selection. Look over in Mark chapter 2, verse 14. Here's another boy calls out. Mark 2:14. Mark 2:14 says this. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. He said, it was the IRS. That was a tax collector. And he said to him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. He is a publican. Y'all remember McGuffey's? I love them. They were Pentecostal, couldn't handle it. But I still go by and see them. I love Brother Ed. And his wife, they're blessing me. I still go there and see them when I'm out sometime. But brother, y'all remember I preached one time on a friend, a publican is sinners. And a publican's a tax collector. Well, Brother Ed worked for the IRS. I didn't know at the time. And the guy through preaching it, his wife came to me. She said, Brother Terry, she's laughing. She said, Brother Ed's a publican. Because I was saying in there, I said, hey, nobody likes a tax collector. Nobody likes a publican. Not even back in, they didn't like the IRS. And she comes and said, hey, he's a publican. You know, he worked for the IRS. It was funny. He was telling me. And they audited him after he left. He said, what a dirty trick. Acts chapter, Mark chapter 2, he calls out Levi. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, get Acts chapter 4. There's a selection God calls. If any man will come after me, I'm so glad it says that. Because you know what, Brother Brian? I qualify for that position. I've applied for jobs before. And they look at me and start laughing. You think you qualify for this? You ever had that happen? I have. You ever went in an interview? I used to interview a lot of people when I worked. I was a manager. I had this one job I tried to fill for years. I bet I interviewed 500 people. And they'd come in there and nobody's qualified. I want to lay on the floor and laugh at some of the people who thought they was qualified. But when it comes to God, he said, any man. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Oh, I love the Bible. I love how God will just use anybody. Look what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren. That's what he did. He called them. He called me and you. Hell that not many wise men after the flesh, not many noble, not many mighty are called. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Hallelujah. That's me, my friend. Look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. If any man, there's a selection. You know what I found out about God? When it comes to serving Him, He's not very picky. Isn't that a blessing? You know what? In the Old Testament, you know what He uses? He uses a dumbass over there one time to preach to a prophet. He'll use whatever He can. Me and Brother Matt was talking about it. We was laughing here. He was at our house, stayed a few days, and it was such a blessing. And he and I were just goofy kids. Matt, when he went to school, he was 18 years old. He just wanted to get away from all his drug buddies and everything and go down there. He said, I had no business being there. I didn't know where to stay. I'd never been down there. Didn't know anything about it. I just went down there by faith just to serve God. And he went to the first job. He told him, he said, listen, I'll sweep the place up. He said he swept cat poop. That's what he did his first job in a cabin shop. He told him, he said, listen, if I don't do a good job, you don't have to pay me nothing. They paid him. 3 days, 3 weeks, he said, he worked himself out of a job. And we were talking about that laughing. And we were saying, hey, what God had done with him. He's started 100 churches and all the things through Dial the Truth Ministry. And I told Brother Matt, I said, you know what, Brother Matt? God sure isn't picky. He will use you, somebody like us. Amen. If any man, look at Acts chapter 4. Look what God says about these boys. Look at Acts 4:13. Remember those men he called out? Here's what God says about them. Acts 4:13. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, that's the ones they called out over there, remember that? And perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Wasn't that a great thing? God reaches down there and picks up these unlearned and ignorant men and starts His church with them. If any man will come after me, Dwight L. Moody, Tommy Tillman, Earl Ankerman, David Beard. I could go on and on and on. This is the only opportunity in the whole universe that just has one qualification. Any man. Every other opportunity, every other job, everything in this world, you got to know something. You got to know something. You got to be able to do something. I tell you what, go out there and see if you can play for the NFL. You got to have some skill. You got to have some talent. You got to have some knowledge. This is the only opportunity in the whole world that just says, hey, any man step on board. And not only is it the only opportunity, I want to tell you this morning, it's the greatest opportunity to serve God too. If any man will come after me, any man, there's a selection. That's the easy part, by the way. Look at the next part in Matthew chapter 16. Says this, and Jesus said to the disciples, Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There's the selection, any man, but then there's something else I see. There's the self-denial. Like Brother Lackey used to say, he said, he'd get preaching sometime, he said, now I'm going to dig in your tater house. You know what God's going to do right now? He's going to start digging in your tater house. See? He said, any man come after me, first thing you got to do is let him deny himself. Nobody likes to deny himself, let's just be honest. All of us like to eat what we want to eat, don't we? We have a hard time just eating sometimes, don't we? How do you know? I'll just take a look here. That's not the body of a man taking a diet doing this. I try to walk and do a little bit here, but I want to tell you, he said, if you want to follow me, he said the first thing is you let him deny himself, and that's something me and you do. He said, let him deny himself. That's your responsibility. Turn over to John chapter 3. Get John chapter 3. Go to Acts 20, and then we'll go to Genesis in a minute. So what are you trying to say? You want to follow the Lord? I mean, really, seriously, do you want to follow the Lord? He gives us instructions. First thing he says, let him deny himself. I don't like that, I'll be honest with you. I like to do what I want to do sometimes. But you know what? I know if I'm going to serve God and follow Him, I'm just going to have to deny myself and follow Him. Self-denial. John chapter 3, verse 30. It's a great verse. This is John the Baptist. John the Baptist, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, he was the greatest man born of women. He baptized with Jesus. He was Jesus' cousin. He was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, etc., etc., etc. I mean, he had a lot of pomp and pageant. He had a lot of on his resume. But when he got down to it, look at John 3:30. It says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Self-denial. And you know, that's something that John had to do. It's not automatic. Acts chapter 20 over there one time. Look at Acts chapter 20. Here's Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 20. You've seen this many times. It's self-denial. If you want to follow Jesus Christ, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Self-denial. You have to do it. God don't break your will. I've said it many times. God don't go anywhere. He's not welcome. It's up to you to take this thing. Acts chapter 20, verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit in Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me, but none of these things move me. Neither count of my life dear to myself. You say, what did he say? Hey, self-denial. He said, okay, I'm going to get beat. I'm going to be in prison. But none of these things move me. Neither do I even count my life dear to myself. He denied himself. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Get Matthew 16. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said, what is that? Self-denial. God is not interested in your opinion, by the way. He's not interested in it. God is not your co-pilot, by the way. You see these silly bumper stickers. God is interested in you dying to self. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. Let him deny himself. Not easy, is it? But that's what he expects. Look at Genesis chapter 3. I mean, the devil appears that Eve over there in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent. And you know what happens? Verse 4, we'll skip there. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Genesis 3, 4, now watch it. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and watch it, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He's saying, hey, when you do that, you'll be like God. You'll be on the throne. And that's what the devil wants to do, is for you to dethrone God in your life. And that Bible said, let him deny himself. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, this is where our verse is at. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 has got one of the greatest dialogues in all the Bible. It's where Peter and the Lord are talking. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is over there. Verse 13, Matthew 16:13 says, and Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am the Son of Man am? And they said, some say there are John the Baptist, Elias, others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said, but whom do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. And Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto me, my Father which is in heaven. And brother, right at that time, God the Father revealed that to him and gave him an insight and a revelation right there. Look what happens. Come down to verse 21. About five verses later, look what happens. And from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things with the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Watch it. And he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. Hey, there was one time a few verses up there, God the Holy God the Father speaking to him, revealing, and a few verses later, Satan's talking to him. He don't even call him Peter. See what happened? He loved the Lord. He was saying, hey, I'm not going to let this happen to you, Lord. I'm not going to let them kill you. You say, listen, love is no motivation for serving God. If you get out of the will of God, he loved the Lord. He was doing it for love. But Satan took that. And look at the next verse. This is our text. Look at the context where our verse came from. And Peter then said, Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come in, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You say, why? Because Satan's going to try to get you to overthrow the will of God in your life and dethrone him. And if you're going to serve God, let him deny himself. There's a self-denial. This thing's not easy, brother. You know what the disciple, he calls them disciples. Matthew 16:24, he said, and he saith unto his disciples. You know what the word disciple means? It means a disciplined one. It comes from the word discipline. If you're going to be a disciple, you got to be disciplined. Brother Larry Cooper used to pastor this church before I came here. And I can still remember him coming down here. I've heard him do it 50 times maybe, Brother Don. I've seen that man of God, he'd get right about here. And Jeff would be right about there. He'd have a few here. And he'd be preaching. His face would be red. You know how it'd get Miss Jenna? His face would be red. Smoke would be coming out of his ears. And his lips would be blue. My wife having a heart attack. Think he's going to pass out. I mean, he's just going at it. He'd say, "This church is not about me. It's not about Brother Jeff. It's not about Don. It's about him." You know what this church is about? It's not about Brian or Anthony. It's not about Ben, Don, Alden. It's not about Terry. It's about him. Amen. And if we get to the place it's not about him, let's shut it down.
Amen.
Self-denial. It's about him. There's a self-denial. Next thing I want you to notice, you want to serve him? Let him deny himself. Next thing, look what it says. Not easy, is it? But if you want to follow him, I mean really follow him. Look what it said. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. You know what you have to do? You have to pick it up. Just like you got to deny. It's up to you how far you want to go with this. And everybody in this building has a cross. Notice what it says. His cross. My cross is not your cross. I deal with things you don't deal with. So and so, but you got a cross, and if you're going to serve him, you're going to have to take it up. And it's not going to. You want a cross, yes? It's a sacrifice. There's self-denial. You want to follow it? And the second thing, there's a sacrifice in your life. You got to give up some things. Some things dear to you before it's over with. Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ." He said, "I'm dead. I'm sacrificed. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me." I'm going to tell you, brethren, this thing's serious. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Get Galatians chapter 6. Romans chapter 12, Galatians chapter 6. If any man will come after me, any man, there's a selection, any man. Little Dalton, I love little Dalton. I love that kid. He was at Jack's the other night, and he said, "Brother Terry, you got some of them get out of hell free cards, didn't he?" I said, "Yes, sir, I got some." And I gave them to him, and he went around the tables giving them out to me, didn't he, Brother Don? Nobody asked him. He just did it. He said, "What is that?" Self-denial. Self-denial. There's a self-denial, there's a sacrifice. And I'm going to tell you, that's what this church is trying to get to. That's what we've been doing. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." You know what God wants? He wants you to die to self. He wants you to take up your cross. He wants to let him deny himself. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Billy Graham was a great preacher as far as I'm concerned. I was telling somebody the other night about that. I said, "I know he had some problems. But I said, that old boy preached the gospel, he's 99 years old. Even in his will, the last thing on there, he's preaching the gospel. He might have had his problems, but I'll tell you one thing, he didn't get caught up in politics. Every president that he ever was able to go to, he went and prayed with them and helped them and tried to do what he did. He kept his eyes on the Lord." Franklin Graham said his favorite verse was Galatians 6:14. Look at it. This is a man of God. Franklin Graham said, I read it, he said he had that verse in every room in the house. It was somewhere. He said in the bathroom when he sat on the toilet, he said that verse was hitting you in the face. He said he had it in his bedroom. Every place in that house, he said that was his verse. You know what it said? "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto you." I'm going to tell you, friend, if you're going to serve God, you're going to have to crucify some things in your life. If you want God to get the glory, you're going to have to sacrifice some things. And he kept that in front of him. Because you know what? That old boy is world famous. I love it. Buried in a casket of plywood built by prisoners at Louisiana University. On the bottom was a pad from Walmart they put in the bottom of that thing. You know what that guy was? He is crucified to this world. Only way you'll ever glorify God, I'm going to tell you, only way you'll do it is crucify this world. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. You know what you have to do sometimes? You may have to sacrifice your job. Yeah. You might have to give it up. You may have to sacrifice your family. You may have to sacrifice your friends. You may have to sacrifice your health. You may have to sacrifice everything you got before you get through this thing. The price is high. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we're reading. Matthew 4:18, And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway, they left their nets. You say, what was that? There was their job. He said, follow me. And they just got up and said, okay. You know what? You may have to give that old job up one day. Amen. I did. Amen. Look at Dalton. He knows what I'm talking about. He done gave up his job. Amen. Amen. Give it up, brother. Good friend of mine, Brother Steve Shillelagh. I've told you about him. He's the one that does our signs for us. I love that old guy. He was going to come out here and preach to us about a year ago, but his sister's a missionary. She came in. He's in Tennessee. And I was talking to him about a month ago, told some of you about it. And I asked him, I said, Brother Steve, I text him, we text. And I said, Brother Steve, do you do this full time? He said, I do it 14 hours a day. He said, we're in 50 different countries and we make signs for 54 different languages. That's pretty amazing. And he said this is exactly what he said. I wrote it down off my text. He said, I used to be a mechanical engineer. I used to design jet engines for GE, Pratt & Whitney, Boeing, and Rolls Royce. I designed surgical staple guns, lung staplers, intestinal staplers in the medical industry. His wife was a doctor. We left both our jobs a few years ago. It was the ministry or the job. And he's got a big exclamation. The jobs had to go. Sometimes you're going to have to sacrifice some things. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Oh, Brother Eby out there in Graysville. That old boy, he's having a hard time. You know what he used to be? He used to be in architecture. High up. He had a big old farm in Ohio. He left all that, come to work for Jack Patterson as a director of one of those boys' home. That thing closed down. Now he's got a little church, not much bigger than this piano, just about, isn't he? Some of you guys, it's a little bitty community church. Working part-time, Brother Graham Hudson, taking Obamacare. That old boy was a six-figure plus at one time. What'd he do? He gave it all up for the Lord. You say he's a fool. You just wait and see who was a fool when he missed the judgment seat of Christ. You may have to give up that friend and your job. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Look at verse 21. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, and a ship of Zebedee his father, mending their nets, and he called them, and immediately he left the ship and their father. He left his family. He said, okay, I'm going to leave my ship, all I got. See you later, Dad. I'm going to go follow him. You may have to sacrifice your family, your friends, everything you got before you get through. Brother Matt, when he left home, y'all heard his testimony. Father said, you can't pass out any tracks. Father hated God. He left home 18 years old. Went out there and go to school. Craghorn family. They're away from their family. They got a daughter that's deathly sick. Two of them over here. A son that was shot 9 times over here. They're over there in Indonesia, in a tribal place. You say, what did they do? They sacrificed their family and left them to serve him. Just like Zebedee did. Just like Tommy Tillman did. Just like Earl Rankin travels all around this country. Gets to see his family 2 weeks of the year. I'm going to tell you, brethren. Brother Memorial Vincent Victor's, when he got saved, sister bit a chuck out of his arm. Y'all seen him, threw him out there in the animal preserve, hoping the animals eat him. I'm going to tell you, folks, some of these folks have paid a price to serve God. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. C.T. Studd was a wealthy billionaire, and under today's standard, he's a cricket player. He was the greatest and most popular athlete in the world in his day. That's who he was. And he got saved at a Dwight L. Moody revival. Glory to God. And that old boy gave all of his money away, every last penny, to the China Inland Mission. And he went to the mission field of China and he served God, gave up that whole life, all his money, all his fame. And he said this. He said, if Jesus Christ be God and he died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. You know what you're going to have to do? Let him deny himself. You want to really follow Jesus Christ? I mean, really. Let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross It says over in Luke chapter 12, it says the same thing. But over there in Luke chapter 12, it says, let him take up his cross. Luke chapter 9, let him take up his cross daily. This thing is not something you just come down here and altar and pray one day and it's all done. You're going to fight it all your life. You're going to fight it to serve Him. I want to say there's self-denial. There's a sacrifice. Not only that, I see a sacrifice. I see something else. I see submission. It says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, self-denial, take up his cross, sacrifice, and follow me. There's submission to the Lord. You're not to follow the Republican Party. You got that? Donald Trump would take you right down the ditch, folks. And so would anybody else. It doesn't matter who it is. Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. Don't follow the news media. There's only one you ought to follow and submit. And it ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen. And if you're not submitted to Him, something's wrong. Immediately left the ship and followed Him. We're not to lead. We're to follow. That old song, where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him, with Him, with Him, all the way. See, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say you need to be submitted. Over there in Revelation chapter 2, there's that church at Ephesus. And He says about that church in Revelation 2:4, He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. He said, because you left your first love, this life, if you're saved, it ought to be a submission to Jesus Christ above everything. And if it's not, my friend, you're out of the will of God. You're in trouble. Brother Earl, that message you gave Sunday morning, man, that was a great message, Miss Liz. I know it's Miss Liz's favorite one. Man, that thing is eat me alive. That's one of the best messages I've heard in 10 years, probably. Life's lessons. Number one, line up. Line up. Jesus Christ ought to be number one. He ought to be above your family, ought to be above your husband, your wife, your kids, your grandkids. He ought to be it. Number one, line up. If you don't get that one right, nothing else works. And His next point was, listen. Listen to the Lord. Don't listen to people. Listen! Listen! And then that last point, y'all remember? You got to love them where you're at. See? That's the name of the game. Everybody out there is going through things, having difficulty. I want to say there's submission to the Lord. Mark chapter 12, Jesus Christ says this. This is the Word of God. I didn't say this. And I shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. All your heart! It ought to be His! All my soul, all their mind, and all their strength. That's what He's asking you to do. Hey, this thing's not easy, is it? You want to follow Him? I want to say one more thing. There's a selection of any man. God's not picky. Amazes who He uses. There's a self-denial. Let Him deny Himself. There's a sacrifice. Take up His cross. And there's that submission and follow Him. And look at Mark chapter 4. This is the proof if you're following Jesus Christ right here. This is the proof is a church is following Jesus Christ right here according to the Word of God. Brother Ruckman's commentary, I was looking on it. He said the one thing you can tell if a church is following Jesus Christ or if somebody's following Jesus Christ, he said this verse is the acid test right here. This settles it right here. Look at it. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Matthew 4:19, here's what he says. You want to find out if this church is following God? You want to find out if you're following Jesus Christ? He said, if any man follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Amen. It's not you have a choice. It's not a multiple choice. Listen, if you're following Jesus Christ, you will be fishing for men. And if a church is following Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you what it'll be doing. It'll be fishing for men. It won't be trying to build a big church. I'm not trying to pack this church with a bunch of folks sitting around looking at each other. If I wanted to do that, I'd go down to Walmart. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to get some people out of hell and fish for some men. And that's what we do. And I tell you what, this church is doing a pretty good job. I've seen people grow in this church. Most churches now, somebody said, they're not fishers of men anymore. They're just keepers of the aquarium. I don't don't care what goes on in here so much Sunday morning. I'm worried about what goes out there when you walk out that door. That's what I'm worried about. This is not Realville. I preached that 100 times to you. You know, we go to the homeless Tuesday night. We go out there week before last. Miss Jenna, we had 4 men get saved. I led 3 of them to the Lord. Brother Zito, I saw him pray, and I saw him ask Jesus the same, and I saw him come up as a new creature. I saw him lighten up. I saw it. Brother Lucian's had that ministry for 8 years. 8 years he's been down there doing it. In 8 years, you know how many churches that came out and helped him to get people saved and fish for men? He's had one church. One church in 8 years is a little old church, handful of people in Springville, Alabama, called Pearl Lake Baptist. I've had them men tell me, said, "Preacher, since you guys have been coming, more people have gotten saved than the whole time we've been here." You say, "What are you doing?" We're following him. We're fishing for men. You know why we make buttons back there? You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to fish for men.
Amen.
You know why we had a yard sale? I said it was chumming. It had nothing to do with a yard sale. We're trying to get people to come. Every yard sale we've had, somebody got saved.
Amen.
Every one of them.
Amen.
Had a 60-year-old black man one time, James, out there. Led him to the Lord. His wife been praying 40 years, she said. 10 minutes later, a young white girl from Jacksonville, Florida, just moved up, 29 years old, got saved. I'm telling you, brother, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. We got bumper stickers on our car out there. Christ died for your sins. I tell you what, go to First Baptist. Go to Northport. Go to Cross Point. Go to Central. Go to these big Baptist churches and see how many bumper stickers are on the car trying to fish for men. You'll find more people, more bumper stickers on this car than you'll find all those churches put together. You say, why?
Amen.
We're trying to fish for men. Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you. I'll make you fishers of men.
Amen.
We got a street ministry. You say, what are you trying to do? We get out there with signs, hold up signs, try to tell them about the Lord. You say, what are you trying to do? We're trying to follow Him, and we're trying to fish for men.
Amen.
We go out here. We got these little old get out of hell free cars. You know what you do? We throw those things all over the place. I got those things all over the place. You say, what are you doing? I'm fishing for men. I'm throwing out a little bit of corn like you do carp, and throw out a little bit here and there, and maybe there's a plant of seed. Maybe something will happen. You say, why? I'm trying to get them out of hell. Brother, we can't do that. Let's close up. Go fishing. Do something. See what you're trying to do, preacher. I'm fishing for men. We go to Jack Sunday night. Oh, I love it, ladies. We have a good time. If you've never been around Miss Jan and Miss Carol cutting a fool, you've just never been around anybody. They're entertaining. Aren't they, Brother Don? They're entertaining. And throw Miss Stacy in there and she'll tell you about the health care plans and all that. It gets good. Doesn't it? I enjoy it. You know what, though? Before we get there to Jack's, a lot of times other churches are there, Brother Brian. A lot of them around are there. You know what? When they leave, there's not a single track around. This church shows up, everybody in that place gets one or two tracks. Every table in that place will have a track on it. Every employee in that place, somebody at Pearl Lake Baptist Church will give them a track.
Amen.
You say, why? We're following Him. He said, follow me. Brother Ben called me the other day. Oh, I love that man. He's a fisherman, see. Called me last week, week before last. Tuesday. We was going to the homeless. I said, brother, he said, I just ran out of get out of hell free cards. He said, I need to get some more. And he said, I can't wait till Thursday. I got to have some. I said, well, brother, you can meet me at the homeless downstairs. He said, okay. He said, I got to go home first. I said, if you got to go home first, just run by my house and I'll give you a box. I gave him a whole box of 500. He said, I made a pretty good dent already in them. He said, what is he doing? Fishing for men.
Amen.
Fishing for men. That's what we're trying to do here. He said, follow me. Follow me. Got baseball caps all over the place. I've given out a bunch of them. Got some under here. I don't like to wear a baseball cap. They bother me. But my wife would tell you, if I go out of the house somewhere, I'm going to stick that thing that said, Jesus Christ died for you. I've had 50 people tell me I love that hat. I was in public the other day, had two people come to me and said, I love that hat. I love it. You say, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to fish for men. Might not be a lot, but you never know what to do. We had a trunk or treat here a few years ago, Halloween. You know what he was doing? We was fishing for men. We had an 8-year-old little girl got saved. Pat Green got saved. She said, what are you trying to do, preacher? We're just trying to fish for men. We're trying to follow the Lord. Like old Tommy Tillman. You know what Tommy Tillman is? He's a fisherman. That old boy got saved. As soon as he got saved, Brother Brian, nobody had to tell him anything. He went and started hitchhiking around the country trying to get people saved. Brother Matt, he's a fisherman. Brother Earl's a fisherman. You want to say, I want to be a fisherman. Fishing for men. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You want to know if church is following God? You want to know if it's following Jesus? This church right here, we got tracks all over the place. You go to most churches, you don't see tracks like that. They may have some church tracks. This church right here, I can almost guarantee you, we put out more tracks in a month than most of these big churches put out in 5 years. Amen. You say, why? We're fishing for men. Amen. That's what we're about. We're not about this service kind of thing here. We're about going out the door and doing something. One of my favorite Christians, and it's amazing what people have given up for God. John Prescott, that guy lives in that dirty old van. He just blows my mind. That guy's a fisher of men. There's a guy named Lou Fuch. I told you about him before. When I was thinking of this message, he kept coming back to my mind. Oh, Lou Fuch. Lou Fuch was a Chinese millionaire. He was very wealthy. He owned a bunch of silver mines. And Brother Chris, he had all these, call them coolies. They were slaves, Chinese slaves. And they worked for him. And he owned the silver mine. He was really rich. Owned all those mines. And he watched those coolies work. And somebody come along, led old Lou Fuch to the Lord, Miss Rachel. He got saved. And he started looking at all those slaves working down there in the silver mine. You know what that old boy did? He discreetly sold himself as a slave, Brother Brian. Sold himself. Gave up all that he had. Went down there and sold himself as a slave so he could witness to those slaves. He died 2 years later. That's all he lasted. Before he died, he said he led over 200 of those men to the Lord. Somebody said, that guy was a fool. That guy was a soldier, what he was. He followed the Lord. He followed the Lord. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. And he said, follow me and I'll make you. Not a choice. Not a choice. You're following Jesus Christ. It's not a matter if. You will be a fisher of men. You'll be it. Let's take our hymn books. Let's turn to page 316 in the green. 316 in the green. 42 minutes. That's not bad. Yeah. 316 in the green. This is a great song. Fanny Crosby wrote this song. And I was thinking about this song when I was working it out. That's not the song I'm going to sing, but turn to page 316. This song right here, I decided to follow Jesus. Remember that? It's a great song. Y'all remember the story of this song? Over in India, a man got saved. Missionary came over there, the Lord. And the sheikh came to him in the quiet, and this true story. Asked him, he said, will you renounce Jesus? And he said, I have decided to follow Jesus. And they cut his head off. Cut it off. His head laying down there on the ground, his body's thriving, I guess, and blood's coming out of his neck, and his wife's sitting there watching it. And he asked her, he said, are you going to renounce Jesus Christ? She said, I decided to follow Jesus and we'll turn him back. And it cut her off. People paid the price to follow Jesus. And years later, that whole tribe got saved because of that. And they had a song. This was a song they used to sing because of what they said. And a missionary came over there and got that song. So they started singing that song in that tribe in the Billy Graham Crusade. That's how it came about. That lady's husband's head laying there, his body thrashing, blood coming out of it, gushing out of the neck. She said, I've decided to follow Jesus. Let's sing. Look at the words of this thing. It's serious stuff. Sing it out.